in a society where we really do not take time out, and in this case it's nature, just to see the depth of a very wise God. A God that we will never be able to figure out, even in eternity. And scripture says that we will know him in eternity, but I can tell you this, he is so big. Do you know how long eternity is? It's long. Do you know when eternity stops? It never stops. Now just think about that, and think about the fact that you will never be able to figure out God completely. We sometimes worship a God that we've created within our minds, and we think, I'll know him completely. You can't. He's an awesome being who created the ants, the rock badgers, the locusts, and the lizards. And we're going to look at this evening. First of all, it says that these animals, they are small, but they are exceedingly wise. Wisdom is the art of being successful. It is the art of forming the correct plan to gain the desired results. That's what wisdom is. You have a plan and you get results. Now, and Christianity, sorry for laughing, but I'm laughing at myself. Sometimes we get so spiritual, we don't get results. We hide behind our spirituality. We're not wise. So our small group today, oh, the Holy Spirit was there. It was powerful. And the worship, ooh. And then sometimes I want to ask people now, what does woo mean? Define woo, please. No, it was wow. Okay, now what is wow? It was awesome. If you heard that, man, worship was awesome. And then I have to ask people now, what does awesome mean in God's wisdom and in God's plan? Can you explain to me what awesome means? Can you quantify awesome? Then they give you that look. You know that get with the program look? Get with the program. I'm spirit-filled and I can speak in tongues. You know? And biblical wisdom is something really practical. The first thing that I need to know, that you need to know, wisdom is intensely practical and it's not theoretical. And because wisdom is about success, you must be able to measure wisdom. You must be able to measure your success. In other words, if I have to ask you, Jodine, what is your faith goal for 2012? And she tells me, I want to grow in the Lord. Then she must be able to quantify and qualify how she's going to grow in the Lord. And I must be able to measure it. Isn't that so? How do you measure growth in the Lord? Just a practical question. How are you going to measure yourself so that you can see that you've grown in the Lord? Can I ask you this? How do you measure obedience? How do you facilitate obedience? God had to teach me this the really hard way. And it started with my children. If you tell your child, please pick up your shoes, the only way if you can see if he's grown in his obedience is to see that his shoes are picked up. That's how you measure obedience. If you ask somebody now, you want to grow in the Lord, what do you need to do? No, Carlos, what I need to do is to grow in the Lord. I've thought about this, and I think I must fast once a week for the next 6 months. Then I must do Bible school. I must get to small group regularly, and I've challenged myself to pray for somebody that I don't know every Thursday. Now, that's a measurable goal. That's measurable. People don't want to talk like that. No, you can't box the Holy Spirit in. Whatever I want to pray for people on Saturday and Sundays, well, you can do it. The only problem is that we need to stay accountable when it comes to being practical. Did you pick up your suit? Yes, I did. Did you pray for somebody on Thursday? Yes, I did. What happened? And then we get it again. Oh, when I started praying, the Holy Spirit was there. But now, what I want to know, what did the Holy Spirit say? No, the Holy Spirit was there. It was beautiful. Oh. And then I want to know, but now what? What about the Holy Spirit was beautiful? Oh, you had to be there. Sorry that you were not there. I can't explain. Are you with me? This year is going to be a really practical year, and this year is going to freak out so many Christians because we hide behind that. I can promise you that. I hear this. I hear really the Holy Spirit is telling me this. Our spiritual goals should be quantified. And this is freaking out so many Christians at this stage. Because God is talking about stewardship of spiritual things. I've given you 10 minors and I've given you 5. What have you done with it? I've given you talents. What are you doing with it? Do business till I come. Because when I come, I'm going to start acting like a chartered accountant. Because you should have done business. We're going to have to talk about the business that you've done. Ek moet sien of jou boeke klop. Does everything add up? We're going to get practical this year. Does it scare you? It freaks me out a bit, I must say. When God starts knocking at your door and just asking me, so how's the growth of your child? Is your child growing spiritually? Why aren't you not regularly reading Bible to your child? If you want your child to be grounded in the Word, how are you going to do it? It's a challenge. So, let's look at the ants. Ants represent hardworking people. Hardwerkend. You can't be lazy within the kingdom of God. You can't. Het sit nie lekker met die Here nie. Lui het. God hates slothfulness. Every bit of it. And so ants speaks of living in community. And living in community is commended because working together as a family is important. Working together as a family in Jesus Christ is really important and it's really practical. Why? Because the process of working together on a project is more important than the goal. A lot of people come to church, then they see these chairs packed, they see there's the musical instruments, they see the pulpit, there's some flowers there. But you know what, to get this place like this, there was a process. Now, in that process, we can get angry at each other. We can be moody. Some people come late. And then we get angry because you're late. Are you with me? Some are just plain negligent. Some are focused. Some smile. Some don't. Some didn't have coffee yet. Some hate being here at 7 o'clock in the morning because I can still sleep. Why should I come to church? But you know what? When we work through our issues and we've learned to do what we do here, there's a process that God honors. It's hard working. It's hard work. It's practical. So a lot of the times when people don't want to do this, for me it's just a practical sign of where they are spiritually. I give them one look and then I don't give them the time of the day. Because they can't honor hard work, and they can't honor working together in a community. Now that freaks out Christians. They don't like it when I say it to them. They don't like it when I have to talk to them about, now look here, what are you doing practically? I had a beautiful conversation with Jan last Sunday here. Jan told me, look here, all that I'm hearing that God is saying is, I must pack chairs. He told me right here. I was sitting here, he was sitting here. He was sitting in and he said, I'm waiting for all these people to leave because I want to pack the chairs away. This morning when I came here, Jan was sweeping with a broom there, sweeping. And there down that aisle, that's Jan there with a check shirt. Jan said, ek sê, Jan, hoe gaan dit? Nie, is net so klein wit sweetie. So ek wonder hoe like a kleerling sweetie. Maar it's a grappie. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. Anyway, only I am allowed to make that joke, eh? Kiramari, I could see something about the man's heart, understanding where ends come from. You can never be successful on your own. You can have so much money, but you're unhappy because you're not part of a community. Community. And when we talk about community in church, we talk about family, just like the ants. Working together as a family. Now that's being practical. You can see by somebody's way in which he or she connects with other people if he or she is a team player. I know team players and I know Lone Rangers. I know a lot of people that just want to do what they want to do. And obviously right now I'm preaching at the wrong people. I scheme. I think. But you know what? You're always going to be part of a team. Just like the ants. We're going to get practical this year. And I want you to start asking people, now look here, why can't you work with us? Is there something wrong with us? You always come in late with the worship and then you leave early when we're still praying. You don't want to spend time with us. You don't want to drink coffee with us. But you just leave. What's wrong? Is there hurt in your life? Did somebody hurt you? Did something bad happen with you? Is it me? What's the problem? Let's talk about why can't you be part of community? Now that's measurable. And then we have to commend the ant for having foresight. The community sees the need. The community knows where to go. The community works together to get the faith goals. A community does that. Did you know that? Individuals don't get that. Individuals never learn to celebrate with those who are happy. I can tell you this from my heart, that a guy like Jan, after speaking to him last week, a guy like Jan will get excited when people are blessed. Because there's something right within his heart. I just know it. He'll weep with those who weep, and he'll be happy with those who are happy. Community. We're talking about community. We're not talking about the sin of individualism, which is rampant within the church. I've learned a long time ago that this is not a me, myself, and I. Have you noticed what Jesus said? Our Father, who art in heaven. Not my Father. Our Father. Give who? Give me today my daily bread. Give us. Forgive us our trespasses. But deliver us from evil. You see, we work with us God. And what the world is teaching us is you work with a me, myself, and I God. We're talking about the ant. We're talking about being industrious. We're talking about this year about being practical. So, those of you who weren't here this morning, it was so beautiful to see everybody being part of the Awaken conference. There was ladies all dressed in white. The sound guys played the clip. There was handsome young men, ladies. If you weren't here this morning, dis jou eie skuld. Handsome young men that served the ladies with cupcakes. White cupcakes with flags on Awaken Your Destiny. The Christian Chippendales. No, that's a joke. Forget about that. I didn't say that. Hein, you must edit that, eh? It can't go on the website. You know? But it was just so beautiful to see that the males also getting excited about the women's conference. Because it's a us thing. It's a unity thing. It's a beautiful thing when everybody works together. Now, I don't know how I would look in an all-white outfit. But I thought, okay, no. And I thought again, no. Maybe it's just the shirt white, but an all-white outfit, you know. This is a baanbeamte by the atletiek. You know, athletics, those guys. But it was so beautiful. And I watch people and I watch who gets excited with us. And I really get saddened when I see who doesn't get excited with us. It really saddens me. And sometimes I want to walk up to people and tell people, no, why the long face? I want you to look around you and just see how people are smiling and enjoying this moment. You're the only person sitting here with a long face. Look in the mirror, please. Just look in the mirror. Look at how you look. Just look at how you look. Are you with me? My sister is laughing here. Secondly, ants love doing preparation, preparing things together as a family for future events. You see what I've learned from the ant? How the ant prepares for the summer. They never grow hungry. Because they've prepared as a family for future events. We're going to have to get this right this year. If we want to take the gospel to the whole world, if we want to go and make disciples, then everybody needs to start working together. It's going to start here. Churches, at this stage, I think they are forcing to work together. They are forcing each other to work together. And it's just so. And I must commend a lot of leaders for trying. But at this stage, there are a lot of trying and not Holy Spirit inspired unity amongst churches. Are you with me? I'm trying. I'm telling you, I'm really trying to work together with other church leaders. But it's just so difficult, but I want to get this right. Everybody that wants to see people saved and meet Jesus, I work with them. If they preach the cross, it's about Christ. I don't worry then about baptism and speaking in tongues. All I want to know is Jesus the only way to get saved? Tell me that. Yes. Okay. Then we can get people saved together. We can disciple them separately. Because I'm going to disciple them in the way of speaking in tongues. I'm going to disciple them about being baptized. You're not. But we can get them saved together. At least we have that in common. But I'm willing to work with you. Are you with me? But when it comes to discipleship, I just want to tell you, I'm going to talk to them about being baptism. And when I start speaking, don't look at me with big eyes. Because I don't look at you with big eyes when you start praying. So when I start praying like that, please, just have respect for where I am. Now, obviously, I won't do it everywhere because I must be respectful of where people are at. Jesus will never force his ways upon people. But in terms of community, if we really want to change people's lives, if we really want to change communities, we're going to have to learn to work together as a community for future events. Then the rock badgers. These are creating places of safety because they are the animals that lives in the cracks. Hulle is muise. They look like mouses, you know. So what they do, I know for some women it's very grillerig, a mouse. But you know, they live in these rock cracks and it speaks of a place of safety. God is our rock and we need to create a place where God is the rock and people's safety. God is our rock. God is the rock of salvation. David writes about that. Now, If the foundation of a church is not God the rock, then it will never be a place of safety. I can't build this church on my personality. It won't stand. I can tell you that. My personality is not as strong as Jesus. Jesus is the foundation, the rock, the place of safety. If I build this church on my personality, when persecution comes, everybody will die just like me, because I'm a weakling on my own. But I'm strong within my weakness. God can show himself strong. Why can God show himself strong within my weakness? Because he's my rock. He's that place of safety. Are you with me? The rock badges. So we're going to learn how to create this place of safety so that people can run to this place, so that people can come here. They must feel safe here because they meet Jesus here. They can't feel safe here if they meet personalities or styles. It's not about a style of worship. It's not about a style that we do. It's about seeing Christ in me. And as the Apostle Paul says, you imitate me as I imitate Christ, and you follow me as I follow Christ, because it's about Christ, the rock of salvation. He's the place of safety. Are you with me? And we should create those places through our worship and through our lifestyle. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Then the rock badges also speaks of a place where intercession and small group and celebration services are the place of safety. You know how beautiful it is when you have intercession with people and you hear from Christ together. Now that's a safe place. That's a safe place. And a lot of people don't come to intercession. Maybe it's because it's boring. Maybe because they've never heard Christ speaking to them, talking to them, giving solutions to problems. But I can tell you this, when all hell breaks loose, we go to our knees. Isn't that so? So the safest place to be when all hell breaks loose is when you pray with other people. That's one of the safest places that you can be when all hell breaks loose against you. You know how beautiful it is when there's difficult times and you sit with four or five of your brothers in small group and you just pray for this thing. Now that's a safe place. It's going to start with intercession and it's going to start with small groups. Too many people deny the value of a small group where you can connect with people in peace and in safety. Too many people have excuses for why they can't go to small group. Too many people have excuses for why they can't come to church, and they're neglecting the fellowship. They're neglecting being part of the safety of the rock. I'm talking about the rock. I'm talking about a place of safety. The safest place for my kids is the home. You know, I just see it over and over. When the gates are closed at the back with our neighbors, then they'll always have a lot to say to the dog. Shut up! They speak in tongues to the dog. But if that gate is open, they'll run to be papa, papa, do you want? You know, then it's a safe place. So many Christians, they don't run to that safe place. They stay at home. So many Christians get hurt because they're outside of that safe place. We're talking again about the sin of individualism. It's a very painful place to be if you don't have a safe place. We're talking about the rock badger. Safe place. We're talking about the fact that we really want to make this place a home. Now, it's really difficult. But I want to challenge each and every one of you this evening. Come and help us make this place home. It's not our own building yet, but we can make it home. Are you with me? We don't have coffee there because it's nice to have coffee. We really want to create a place where people can come and just talk with us. You know, so many people, they're not willing to come here because it's the wrong part of town. Now I'm talking about Christians that have been Christians for 4 or 5 years. Then they want to tell me, look, you must first move the church, then more people will come. As if God's not here. Then I get angry. I really get angry. Then I want to tell people, look, you know what? We don't need you. But if you want to come here, then you come and add value to this place. Come and add value. I'm so passionate about this message. Oh. Say it, Mrs.
Add value.
Add value. It's beautiful. Come and add value. Do you think God will operate better if we move the church into the center of town? No. God operates the same. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, obviously, my heart is to put our church, I feel God has called us to put this church in the middle of town because it must be a safe place for everybody to run to. And we are getting it right. If you look at cultures, I want us to get it right socioeconomically. When we talk about finances, I really want a place where everybody's needs can be met. But for now, I need everybody's hands on deck to help us to get there. I don't need criticism, and I don't need smart talk from Christians that have been Christians for 5, 7, 8 years. I need people that can come to me and tell me, look here, Carlos, I know that this is most probably not the best place that we can be, but Carlos, I'm willing to lay my life down to help you. Carlos, you know what? I want to add value. And Carlos, I treasure the people here because God treasures them. We're getting practical this evening. We're talking face to face here. If you like a style of worship, if you like the way a church looks, go there if it blesses you. But see Christ here and see what we do here. Move with us, operate with us, grow with us. Ruth is that sweet little girl sitting there. Hour and hour we spoke to her, but this is the way that Jesus came to us and said, look here, Carlos, I so want to be part of what's happening here. She was crying here that one morning. It's just saying, look here, I so... And it's just so difficult for me, Carlos, at this stage because I'm really busy. But look here, Carlos, all that I want to say with you, my heart's here. And I'm going to give everything for this. Now, ain't that beautiful? Now, ain't that beautiful? Doesn't that stir your faith? Doesn't that stir your faith within the community? When people start having that conversation with you. And I'm like David. If somebody says I'm in, then I says you're in and you're going to start with us. We're going to do this thing. I never say no. You know why? Because in this thing here, I've never been in it for the money. I can promise you that. If I was in this for the money, then I would have walked a long time ago. Because I was a successful DJ. I was a successful teacher on my way up, making loads of money. And I'm not saying that to patronize you. I'm just saying that I'm here to help people reach their dreams and goals within Christ Jesus. That's why I'm here. I'm here for nothing else. I'll do this every Sunday through pain, sickness, and in health. I'll do it. I'll say, God, we got to save this town. There's so many people that needs to be saved. Are you with me? Because I've learned that this is a safe place. I've learned that this is a community. And I have respect when people like Rieta or people like Jan or people just come to me and tell me they want to give so much. Every Sunday, I honor it. I respect it. You know, guys like Abby and Juan is sitting there behind the table every Sunday. I was wondering the other day if they ever had a day off like Wani. Wani mops this whole floor on his own every Saturday. Faithfully. Nobody knows about it. Nobody has to know about it. But it's such an honorable thing. Now, it blesses me. We're talking about community. We're talking about wisdom, intercession, small group and services. Then the locusts. Ooh, sprinkan. It talks about organization, finding and fighting for unity through planning and the process of getting to answers. We fight through the process to get to the answers. We plan. we sit down, we talk through issues, we plan together. You make a suggestion, I say no. You get angry, why are you saying no? I say don't get angry. You said yes, but I want to get angry. We talk it through. We get to a solution because it's part of the process. Het jy al ooit springkane 'n landsien opvreet? Hulle is vir jou georganiseer. They organize. They have one faith goal. We're going to eat everything within our sight. And that same army is described in Joel as the army of God, like locusts. Locusts, you know. It's fighting for the unity through planning and the process of getting to an answer. The other day we had a meeting with our champs. We had a meeting from 7 till 11:30. I'll tell you, it was a really tense meeting. But round about 11 o'clock, God just pitched there. And God just spoke something within everybody's heart. And we just realized, this is God here. This is not us. This is God speaking. Are you with me? Fighting and planning for that process. That is what is important. I don't run away. I don't walk away. I stay there in the trenches with you because this is a war. It speaks of discipline within the ranks to do the important first and regularly. Discipline, military precision. This is a difficult one for so many Christians. Can everybody please be there at 9 o'clock? And it seems like God mixed up time. Some get there 9:20, some get there 9:15, some get there 9:15. And can everybody please wear white? Then there's white, the shade of pale. White, the shade of gray. Then some purple. And some yellow. And we laugh about it. But then I just think, God, if this is war, somebody will get killed here. I was talking to the team this morning. When the Israelites went through the Jordan to get to Jericho, the praise and worship team walked in front with the ark, the worshippers. So when they went into the water parted and the whole Israel could go through. But now, that miracle can happen, but when we get to Jericho, we can't talk. We must keep quiet when we walk around Jericho for 7 days. It doesn't matter if the praise and worship team does it right, but if somebody talks, then that miracle's for nothing. We're going to get killed. Because God has to silence our unbelief and we must keep quiet when we walk around Jericho. Are you with me? So I told them, what you're doing here isn't more important about what they're doing. What I'm doing here isn't more important. But we need to get excited about what we're doing and we need to learn the discipline of military precision where we learn to do what is expected of us. Now, we're not robots, we're disciples. Because that's another thing that must change this year. A lot of time we raise up robots. And we really need disciplined disciples who can think for themselves. Are you with me? We're getting practical. I know it freaks out so many people, but this is where we are at this stage of the war. You know, when we go into Khayelitsha, you can't minister one by one. You'll die. Just because you think, I'm cool, I'm going to go on my own. Just wait here, I'm going to go on my own here. No. When we do it two by two. It's a military precision. It's like the locust. It's operating with order and operating in order. And what I want us to get right, we need to get it right the first time, not the second time. It's one thing to be in a car accident and say that, you know what? I heard that God said that we shouldn't drive, and so we got into the accident. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing if somebody dies because of your disobedience. Are you with me? So it's important that we need to understand what we're talking about here. The discipline of order. And then, the lizard. The lizard speaks of success, persistence, and endurance. Being a witness within the most unlikely places. The scripture teaches that you get a lizard in the king's palace. Did you see that? Did you see that? In that scripture, we're going to read it again. And it means having faith to come before great men. Having the faith to come before great man and men. Julle moes al die akkedisse gesien hè. Hulle is in paleise ook. Dis wat die skrifgie sê. And we must have that faith. We must have that belief to come to that place. Just like them, to stand before great men. God will put us in places, just practically, where you are now. How many people are saved where you are now and where you are at? And how many people's lives get changed because you are there? It speaks of that lizard being a witness in the most unlikely places. Being a witness in the most unlikely places. It speaks of success, persistency, and endurance. You know, you can keep a lizard in your hand. A king can also keep a lizard in his hand. You'll think you'll be free of them, but they're there. Because God has ordered their steps to be there. Being successful. Not in terms of finances, but being successful in being in the successful places to preach the gospel. Are you with me? We're going to get practical this year, and I love what God is doing. I like what God is doing. So can we stand? Can we stand? Just practically, all that I want you to do this evening is just to settle it with God. God, I'm going to be planted somewhere in a house, and I'm going to be part of that family, and there I'm going to practically give everything that I can give. It will bring healing to so many people. Do you know how many people will get healed when they plant themselves in the house? Trees don't live, they run around. That morning when I spoke with Rita, as she was crying and just saying that she has settled it in her heart to be planted here, I could see healing. Because I could see fruit immediately. And I've told the people, look, you guys, I don't want numbers. I don't want many people in church if they're not disciples. We don't need churchgoers. We need disciples who can make disciples. We need people to be planted within the house of the Lord near that beautiful stream where they will bear fruit even in their old age. Even in their old age. And it brings an immediate blessing when you just shift your mind. Do you know I got into ministry? A year after I got saved, I told my wife here, my gorgeous wife, I told her, look here, I'm sensing God saying to me that I must lay down every plan of my life, and I must tell Hercules it, because he was the pastor at that time here, and then I must just tell him I'm here to serve you till we die. So I went to him. One Sunday, I took her with. We stood in front of him. I told him, look, Hercules, I'm going to drop all my plans. I'm still going to teach, but I'm here to serve you. Whatever you say, we're going to do this. And the only thing he said was, amen. Not a thank you. And it was the right thing that he did. You know why? Because I settled it within my heart. I know why I was called. I know why what I, what I was about to do. I never thought I was going to be the pastor. I always thought that I was going to help him in everything. I settled it. Really. And Elmer and I, we gave up everything. Within 4 years, he had a conversation with me. Look here, don't you want to be the pastor here? I have to go to Shofar Stellenbosch, HQ. Nou, het is skrik ek my dinges af. Je weet, ek het groot geskrik. Ek thought, wow. God. But you see, God honors a commitment that's practical. God honors the commitment that's practical. God will always honor a commitment that's practical. Now, please, I'm not telling you that so that you must not come and tell me, I want to serve you. I'm just telling you that, just to settle it with you, how I've settled it within my heart. Just practically. Being planted in a house. And that doesn't automatically allow me or Hercules to give me a blessing. Oh, you've said there to be blessed, are you? It's a principle about being planted in a house. It's a principle about bearing fruit. And being fruitful wherever you are. That is what it's about. At this stage, there's so many people visiting us. And the sad thing is, they're not part of the family. They always feel like outsiders. Now, it's not our mistake. It's just their inability to say yes to God. I don't have peace. And I'm thinking, now, what peace are you looking for? You know, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic or rude now. I'm thinking, what peace are you seeking? Say yes to what God is doing and say yes and amen. And do. Because that's practical Christianity 101. People seek peace. I can tell you, there's a lot of false peace going around. Because there's a false peace teaching. About you should always run around having peace. What about the confirmation of the word? What about just the friends that you have here and just enjoying it? And so there's so many people that Elmer and I, we have to have constant meetings now, talking with people and just looking in the eye and saying, okay, now what are you going to do about this? You've been upset about this thing for 7 months now, so what are you going to do about it? Be upset for another 3 months? It's Christmas again then. So can we please move on and just get to a place where you can live, because you're not living. You're dying a slow death because you're not settling things practically within your mind. You must settle things. I'm talking about being practical. I'm talking about the wisdom of the ant, the wisdom of the lizard. If there's one thing that I want you to take with you, start being practical and start doing. You know how spiritual that is? That is how spiritual it gets. I've talked with so many people and they don't like me saying that. When they always tell me about their dreams, and I tell them, write your dreams down on a piece of paper for me. And then we work to that point. And they can't. And the next week they come with another plan. Then I say, write that plan all down. And so then people start complaining. You don't come visit me. Nobody visits me. Nobody comes say hi to us in our home. Nobody knows how we struggle. The world owes us nothing. We owe them everything. If you're a Christian, the world owes you nothing. You owe the world everything. Because the everything is inside of your heart. Christ. Start living like Jesus, never expecting, always giving, practically. I love Jesus. I love Jesus when he heals people and he doesn't speak spiritual things. Oh, you want to see now? See. Oh, you want to be healed of your leprosy now? Be healed. So practical. I want us to be practical this year. That's what I want. I want us to be practical within our service. I want us to be practical within our way of praying. You know, people think Angela makes a joke when she says, when we get to the bridge, I want you to raise your hands. And then I want you to turn around. See the light that I have found. There's a reason, because it's practical Christianity. The psalmist said, clap your hands. The psalmist said, lift up your hands. Some song says, we bow down. We lay our crowns. It's practical. But we've grown to a proud place where we don't think God deserves anything practical. God deserves my spirituality. And God doesn't need our spirituality. He needs our practical obedience to Him. Just like the lizard, just like the ant. And I'm learning so much from nature, it's scary. As I'm just sitting and God is just talking to me about this wisdom. And my children, my dear loving two daughters, as I can just see within their eyes that love is spelled to them time. We all know that saying. As they just spend time with me, they love me. It's a practical thing. I can tell them 50,000 times that I love them. It won't help if I'm not there to show them. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. Tell me I love you, and I'll show you how much. Tell me that you care, and I want to know how. How do you care? Don't tell me I practice what I preach. I say preach what you already practice. Now how's that for turning the world upside down like Jesus did it? And just in the silence as we hear the wind, the beauty of those leaves as God speaks with the still small voice. And we recognize it for what it is. It's just a blessing as, you know, and it's not for me that being super spiritual, but all of us just knew when that dove flew in, it first scared us, but then the dove just settled there. And a lot of you just looked up and just thought, okay, is this a God moment? It is a God moment. It is a practical moment. It is God just endowing just so much and saying, look, yeah, I'm head of nature. I can speak a word. But you know what? God never stayed spiritual. He gave up everything and He came to live with us for 33 years. Now how's that for practicality? He's so practical, He was called a carpenter. For 30 years, He made chairs and tables. Now that's practical Christianity. And never once did He tell people, you call me the Son of the Risen Christ. In the name of Jesus. Never got spiritual. Really practical. Really practical. I just love the way He operated, you know. And it's something, you can see how He's working with me now. It's something that I know that you can see in His eyes. You know, when you look into His eyes, then you can see that this man loves me. I've never experienced it, but now lately as I'm just praying and I'm just seeing how God looks at me, then I just know the man loves me. He really loves me. He looks me in the eye. He never looks away. He just looks at me with so much compassion, and it drives me to tears because He loves me. He's so practical. And He just tells me, I won't let anything happen to your family. Don't worry. And if something happens to them, I'll be there for you. Because I'm a Christ that cares. I'm a practical Christ. I know what it feels when people abandon you, but I'll never abandon you. I look in, I'll be there for you. I'll be there. And it's such a blessing. It brings me to so much tears. Because I know I have a practical God that will never leave me. He said it just practically, on a practical level, my son, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Now, how you would like that for practical, but I have to talk with so many Christians that they can't commit to what Christ wants us to do. It's altered a slim story. I'm sick and tired of all those slim stories. I want to do it the way Jesus did, where He just committed Himself to people and said, I'll give everything. And he proved it by dying for each and every one of us. And we don't even give him the time of the day. We don't give each other the time of the day. We're talking about practical Christianity this evening. Father, I pray that everybody will see your eyes and how you look at them and how you just say to them that I love you and how you've said to us that you'll never leave us and forsake us and how you said to us that I no longer call you slaves but now I call you friends and I no longer call you servant, I call you friends because God, you're practical. God, and you picked up that cross. It was something practical that you did. You picked up that cross and you carried it. You felt every bit of physical pain. And so God, that is what we want to do this evening. We want to experience that Christ. And God, we want to love that Christ. We want to be part of that, Lord. Because that is where the blessing lies. And so Lord, we open up our hearts to receive your practical wisdom. We open up our hearts to receive your knowledge. And we open up our hearts to be your hands and your feet to one another and to the nations. Because you're a practical God. I thank you, Lord, that you trust us. And I thank you that you want us to be successful. But God, changes our paradigms. We think in terms of success as the world thinks. But there's another way of success that you think about. We honor you and we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.